We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He came to die to save the world. God's offered to be friendly with man. But he's a holy God, and he won't compromise. God will never compromise. God will not compromise his holiness. An old preacher said to me one time, infinite perfection puts about God infinite impossibilities. That man said that to me when I was just a boy, and I've never forgotten it. He said, God can't do some things because he is God. He can't do wrong. Now, God couldn't do wrong to save people. God Almighty couldn't do wrong to take you to heaven. If you go to heaven, you're going to have to go the right way. So God sent his Son to the world not to condemn the world. But he came into this world, Jesus did, to die on a cross so God could be a just God and could be the justifier of any sinner that wants to be saved. God Almighty can save the vilest sinner that ever lived and never soil his hands. He can pick up lost men and women out of the depth of degradation and never get his hands dirty. Because God has a perfect way to save people. People say, well, I don't see why God would send people to hell. God didn't come to send people to hell. He came to keep men out of hell. Don't blame God if you go to hell. If you go to hell, go like a man. Just go down there and take it and say, I deserve to go. I didn't have to come. I was just too mean not to come. And yeah, I am. When you get there, just go ahead. You know, one thing I can think about the rich man in hell in the parable, he never griped and complained about it. He never said it wasn't right for him to be there. He just tried to make his stay as comfortable as possible. He wanted a little water and wanted his brothers to be warned so they wouldn't get in the same predicament he was in. But he never seemed to blame anybody. You know, you won't blame anybody when you get to hell. When you get to hell, and I hope you won't get there, but if you do, when you get out of there, you'll say, well, it was right. It was right. It was just. It's what I deserved. And the sentence is passed. The Bible says that you'll say amen to your own condemnation. You know, that's a strange expression. It never got hold of me. I got to be a rather old man. I never really understood the depth of that meaning. Men saying amen to their own condemnation. Here's a man going to hell, and as he goes down to hell, says amen, amen, amen. I deserve to go. I deserve to go. Now, it didn't say to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now, I go on this next verse, says, he believeth on him, he is not condemned. That's the way you avoid condemnation. Now, if Jesus came, and he was a God's man, and God's son, died on the cross, saved sinners, and you trust him, you're not condemned. You condemn yourself if you don't do it. You know, I've got a message on that you may approve the right thing, Paul said in Philippians. He wanted people to approve the right thing, see. Now, you know, the test of what you are is, what do you approve? Do you approve as what's right or what's bad? A man that approves that which is right has in his heart something that's decent about him. And if he approves that which is wrong, then there's something in his heart fundamentally wrong. He's not right. Now, condemnation comes to men because Jesus Christ came, and they condemn themselves. He doesn't condemn them. He didn't come to condemn them. He came to save them. And so, when he comes next time, he'll be a judge and will say, depart from me, ye cursed. But up until now, Jesus Christ out looking for sinners, walking down the street, and he's looking for the lost. He's looking right at you now to seek and to save that which is lost. That's his business. And condemnations come because you won't be saved. You condemn yourself. You don't have to be condemned. You could be saved if you wanted to. You could get out from under condemnation. There is no condemnation then which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, that's the reason you're condemned. You're condemned because you don't accept the one that could save you. You don't have to be condemned. Your debt's been paid. Christ bought you a pardon on the cross. It's all signed with his blood. And he offers it to you. You won't have it? Well, then, if you won't have it, you just won't have it. You're condemning yourself, that's all. There's no condemnation. Christ didn't condemn. He said, let them come to me. Come to me, all ye ends of the earth. Be saved. He looks out over a lost world and says, I want to save you. Come to me. He's calling you. You know, when I was a boy, I thought if you'd pray long enough and agonize long enough and plead long enough, that maybe someday you might beg Jesus into the notion of saving you. That's not in the Bible. Not a word of that in the Bible. We read, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you know, a lot of people work themselves up into a sort of a spell of emotion because they really are convicted and they want to be saved. But there's no virtue in that. There's no virtue in that. It may be a manifestation of your conviction that you're lost and all that. But there's no virtue in weeping and sobbing and that kind of thing. The virtue comes in accepting what's for you. And the moment you accept it, you have it. Now, of course, a lot of people go through a turmoil of emotion leading up to the experience of accepting Christ because they are under conviction. They are pulled between the devil and God and between the world and heaven, and there they are. But I've seen some of the most wonderful conversions I ever saw in my life where there wasn't a tear shed. I've seen light come to the eyes of people. Those things are largely a matter of dispositions and temperaments. You know, you don't have to do anything except take it. The minute you're ready to take it, you can have it. I remember years ago down here in Georgia, a young fellow just graduated from university, and he'd come home, nice, clean fellow. And I asked him one day if he is saved. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Jones. I don't even know what you mean. He said, I go to church. I said, I didn't ask you, do you go to church? I asked you if you're saved. Well, he said, I go to church regularly. I was raised in the church. I said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you were saved. Well, he said, what do you mean? Well, I said, you are saved or you're lost. You're either under condemnation or you're not under condemnation. You're on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. There's no middle ground to the business. You're on one side or the other. You can't be neutral about some things. There's some things that the man has to be on one side or the other. You can't be neutral about whether a fellow should kill somebody or not. If you think a fellow should kill somebody, you're a murderer. If you approve it, you're a murderer, you see. You're either against murder or you're for murder. You're either for Jesus or you're against Jesus. You either accept the plan of salvation or you don't accept the plan of salvation. So I kept talking to this young fellow. At last he said, tell me how to be saved. Well, I said, all right, if Jesus was sitting right here where I am now and would tell you something, would you believe? Why, he said, yes, I would. Well, I said, he said, him that cometh unto me out of no wise cast out. Now, I said, to come to Jesus means to come to him to be saved. Here I am, I can't save myself. And I come to get from Jesus. He's the one from whom I can get this thing. So I just come around and trust him as my Savior. I said, will you come to him the best you know how? He said, yes, I will. I said, does he cast you out? Well, he said, I don't feel. I said, I didn't ask you how you feel. I said, does he cast you out? He said he wouldn't cast you out. Do you think he's the kind of person to lie? You don't think Jesus would lie to you? He said, no, I don't think he'd lie. Well, I said, he said, if you come to him, he wouldn't cast you out. You come to him. Does he cast you out? He said, no. No, he doesn't cast me out. I said, what does he do? He looked just a moment. Well, I said, he takes me. I've accepted him. He takes me. He didn't cry. I saw a light in his eye and a peace, expression of peace in his face. He just took what was for him. Now, you don't have to be lost. You don't have to be condemned. You can be saved, every last one of you. And if I were you, I'd play that thing safe. I wouldn't take any chance on that business. You don't have to take any chance. I wouldn't take any chance. Why go on wondering? It's going to be too late to wonder when you get to eternity. Why go on wondering about the thing? Now then, condemnations come to you. Because Jesus Christ came to the world, lighted up the world, and he's the light of the world, and you know it. And you don't trust him to save you. You may trust your church or trust your baptism. You know, you can trust your baptism. If you trust your baptism, you're lost. If you trust your church membership to save you, you're lost. If you trust your membership in the secret order to save you, you're lost. You are saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's his word. Plain, simple word. No other way, no other plan. That's God's plan. Now, if the New Testament's so, then I'm right in what I'm telling you. And I'm sure the New Testament's true. I know the prophecies of the old were fulfilled in the new. I know that. And I know it's true. Now, wait a minute. Now, I said, he believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, that's the reason you're condemned. You don't go to hell just because you killed somebody, or because you lied one time, or sinned one time. Now, wait, don't misunderstand me now. Be careful. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Your soul is a dead soul because of sin. But that's not the reason you go to hell. All people have sinned. You go to hell because you won't accept the only one that can save you. That's the trouble. You've got somebody can save you. There is somebody can save you. There's a good doctor that can make you well, and you just won't have the doctor, that's all. So that's the reason you're condemned. Yes, it is now. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way. Now, here it is. It's up to you. Now, take the next verse. And this is the condemnation of light come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, that explains it. That's what's the matter with you. You see, your deeds are evil, your life's evil, and you want darkness rather than light. You don't like the light, see. It just, as I said one time, doesn't make you look right. Like I said, when Jesus was here, he went into a room, and it was dark in the room, you know, and he'd press a button, figuratively speaking, and light it up. Well, he always looked all right. They couldn't find anything wrong with him, you know. Never could. You know, when even the man that tried him said, I find no fault in him. And after he hung on the cross there, some Roman soldiers said, it must have been the Son of God. He's so unlike other people, he must have belonged to another realm. And there he was. He always looked all right. They tried to make him look wrong, but the trouble was not with Jesus, the trouble was with them. Light came on, and he looked right, and they didn't look right, and they didn't want the light. People don't want Jesus around when they want to sin. You wouldn't want your mother with you if you're going off on a drunken, wicked orgy, would you? You wouldn't want your wife along if you're going out living sin, would you? No, you wouldn't. Because you don't want somebody that loves you and cares for you and interested in you, and somebody you're obligated to, you don't want them around when you live in sin. You see how it goes? And people are like that. They didn't want Jesus around. The world still hates Jesus Christ. Oh, they're trying to fix him up to suit themselves. You know, if Jesus Christ would adjust himself to that conception of Christ, they wouldn't mind. But he won't do that. The kind of Savior they want is a good teacher, and a good example. One religion is as good as another, you know. And if you do the best you can, you'll go to heaven anyhow, he say. That means man can save himself. Whenever they say, if you do the best you can, you'll go to heaven, that means you can save yourself, see. You know how it goes, you know. That means that you can save yourself. And that's what man wants to do. And the Bible says that's what he can't do. It says we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith in the atoning blood of Christ. And so the world goes on, and this is the condemnation of light come to the world. The men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, isn't that a terrible statement? You're what you are because your life's not right. And you've condemned yourself because you won't accept the only Savior. Now, why don't you accept? You could do it right now if you wanted to. You could turn your life over to him and trust him. Our Father, help somebody do it. Speak to somebody's heart. May somebody this day that's been in darkness come out of the light and say, I'll trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hear us in this prayer. Speak. We believe somebody's going to accept him from this message this morning. We believe I sent to them. Help them to trust you, Lord. And may we meet somebody in heaven who will make this a date and say, that day I listened in and I trusted Christ. Hear us in this prayer. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.